Well, I guess we can get started here. Good evening, everybody. Good evening. It's good to be here tonight. I guess we're going to continue in our Torah portions. And we're still in Noah. And you know, it still goes on a lot to learn. And so much valuable information up in here that I've kind of been looking at. So we're going to try to see if we can wrap up Chapter 8, I believe we left off there, and going to 9. So, in Bereshit 8:17, this is where I started from. I'm not sure exactly where we had stopped off, but I think this is a good place to start. If I miss it, I apologize. It says, "Bring out with you every life form of all flesh that is with you, of birds, of cattle, and all creeping creatures, the creeping creatures on the earth, and let them teem on the earth and bear and increase on the earth." This is right after Elohim, in verse 15, Elohim told Noah, okay, you can get out the ark. And this is what he told him to get out with. And we're going to see these creeping creatures. I noticed a little something with them. They mentioned them a couple times here in this, toward the tail end of this chapter. Also going in chapter 9. So that's something we've got to just take a little look at. So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping creature, and every bird, whatever creeps on the earth according to their kinds, went out of the ark. Now, these creeping creatures is H7431. Yeah, man, I listened to them several times. It's just REMES, reminds. And it's a root word of remains. I know I got that wrong. And I've tried to listen to several times, but these words get you. And it's the root word. It comes off of 7430. It's creeping things, creeping moving things, creeping organisms. And it's to creep lightly, move about, walk on all fours. And just something that kept, you know, to me, that I kept looking at these creeping things. I know they're talking about the animals here that was in the ark, these creeping creatures. Because you know, some animal, they stalk their prey. They go around on all fours. And I was just watching a little video a little while ago. This man, this daughter, they're over there in Africa, and they killed this lion. So this lion, apparently he was the ruler of his section. But what they really didn't realize, the lion had a brother. So they all, with their photos, taking pictures, and a good thing, you know, and they have it enjoying themselves, taking pictures of the dead lion they just killed. But don't you know, one was creeping on them. And they don't show the whole video, but they see them taking off running. They show the lion come running behind them. So it made me stop and pause at these creeping creatures, because how many know we have an adversary? And it's really stuck with me, these creeping creatures. We're going to see them in the next chapter also. But let's look at something in Kepha. First Kepha. You know, like I said, we have an adversary that goes about. You know, he's not your friend. But we're gonna get later in what Yeshua is gonna say about this situation, about these creeping creatures. Because you know, they're out to do you harm. They speak against you. They speak against the church. They speak against your leadership. I see these creeping creatures. They're still around today. Let's look at this. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. "Therefore, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Messiah, and also a sharer of the esteem that is to be revealed, I appeal to the elders among you, shepherd the flock of Elohim, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but voluntarily, not out of greed or filthy gain, but eagerly. Neither as being masters over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And I sit under authority. And that's what Peter, as one of the elders, Peter, I'm one of the elders here, he said, and he's the eyewitness to the account of Messiah. I wasn't there. I'm only going by faith. But I believe what he wrote, and what he wrote is true. And he says, shepherd the flock, and be subject to your overseers. Peter gives us instruction here. For why? And he says, be examples to the flock. We have people that's watching us. We have young ones. We have to be lead. As we're being leaders, we have to be examples to them. Because if we fail, I've said it before, if we fail, what are their hopes? What is the hope of our children, our grandchildren? What are the hope of your lost brothers and your lost sisters out there? Because if you fail, they have no hope. They see you out, especially this time of the year, carrying on and doing things that we probably really shouldn't be involved in. What do you think they're going to say? You'll be slandered all over. We're going to get to that. This is what happens when I see these creeping creatures. And when the chief shepherd, I like how he said that. Man, it does something for him. Appears. When he appears, when he comes. Can you imagine that day? I don't think we really understand what Peter is saying here. When the chief shepherd gets here, the master of masters, last time I said, that's what he called him. You shall receive the never-failing crown of esteem. What are we in it for? If it's not for everlasting life. That is the goal. That's what we're all striving for. It's not going to be easy. Some of us might not even be here next year getting thinned out. Look, tonight we got a large crowd here tonight. But sometimes it looks like we thinned out. In the same way, you younger ones, be subject to elders. I mean, you know, all my life, that's not a time I've never seen my in-laws or granny and papa outside just running around. Far as I know, they've always been in church. And other ones also that I've ever seen. We're subject to them. They might not have it all in words, but their actions speak for themselves. In the same way, younger ones, be subject to elders and gird yourself with humility toward one another, for Elohim resisted the proud but gives favor to the humble. What are we talking about? We're talking about Noach humbling himself. Because why? He found favor. He found grace in the eyes of Yehovah. Because if not, he was doomed. You understand? He was doomed. Him and his family. He talking about had to humble himself. It's no different us today. Because what? Many times. I mean, Pastor just brought it out a couple Shabbats ago. Three different times in three separate occasions, we see that Yeshua, Jude, and Kepha? I think they're all talking about the days of Noah. Man, we're living in them days. We always say put the TV on. You ain't got to put the TV on to even notice. Just go out and about. I tell you what, go out Friday morning. Go out at about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Go wait by the store. You see? You'll get trampled. We've seen that in the scripture already. They trample them over food. We've seen that happen in the scripture already. Humble yourselves. Elohim resists the proud, but gives favor to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of Elohim, so that he exalts you in due time. Not when you want. He has to exalt you. You trying to exalt yourself, you'd be like the wicked Haman. You see what happened to him? We have examples of, look, everything we read, we can go back and find examples all over in the scripture. That's what it does. It teaches you. But how you learn it from? I got a phone call yesterday. You know, a young brother was asking me about some questions. I said, you know what? You're not going to understand Galatians. You're talking about circumcision until you go back to the beginning. Because you don't know where covenants came from. So I'm glad I had the opportunity to just share with him just a little bit. Casting all your worries upon him, for he's concerned about you. He don't want to leave you out there hanging in the cold. He loves you. We're going to read the next verse coming up in Bereshit, where he says, in his heart. Now we know that Yehovah is spirit, but he talked about in his heart. So translation is trying to tell us something. He's concerned about you. He don't have to have a heart to not be concerned. He created us. He knows our feelings. He knows what we go through every day. Well, we got to change our ways, how we act, how we conduct ourselves, how we walk. He said we have to walk as he walked. So how do we think he walked? Let him exalt you, because he cares about you. Be sober. Huh. This is something. Watch. What's going to happen here in chapter 9 with Noach? Scripture tells us, be sober. Watch, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, creeping creature, seeking someone to devour. Look, when I read all these, one thing I learned is this tail end of this Torah portion, going into chapter 9, everything I read, I notice is we can link it to spiritual, and today, you know, you see it both sides, in the physical and the spiritual. Just about every verse I was reading. Because I can point to something, I can relate to something if you want to sit there and you really want to learn. So what does the enemy do? These creeping creatures, they go about, they're seeking, they're looking. But we have to be sober. Watch, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. He's out to get you. He's not for you. We know that. He's trying to destroy the little bit we have here. Crazy posts all over, junk on Facebook and all this stuff. Trust me, I hear it. It's all out there. And the thing about it, Christians, you got people that's called Christians, agree with stuff like that. When you start calling right wrong and wrong right, you really got an issue. Resist him. Firm in the belief. Knowing that the same hardship are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So look, if pastor's going through it, guess who else goes through it? I do. And if I go through it, guess who else goes? You do. It ain't just pastor. We all go through it. Well, we can learn a lot from all this. Resist him. Oh, yeah, I mean, hey, who don't love fame? I know it. You know, TV, right now, the TV world, every commercial you put on, it makes it look so good. It really does. It looks inviting. It looks like it was a great, fun family time. And look, tomorrow, the holiday tomorrow, I'm thankful for that, for the day. Not because I'm off. I'm thankful that I'm even alive. It's not so much the holiday. But I have more than I would be thankful than just worry about eating a turkey. Besides, I don't even have turkey on the menu. You know, but it's much more deep than that. We can be thankful for. We're going to read about it with Noach here in a little bit. You're going to see when he came out the ark, what the first thing he did was build a slaughter place. You talk about Thanksgiving. Hey, it was right there. Resist him firm in the belief, knowing that the same hardship are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. And the Elohim of all favor, who called you into his everlasting esteem by Messiah Yeshua, after you have suffered a while. What? Himself perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be esteem and might forever and ever. Amen. Look, you're going to go through it. We're all going to go through it. We're not exempt. The only time you're not going to go through it, if you're in a box under the ground somewhere. Then you got to wait. But as long as you're alive, you're breathing, you're going to go through it. Death is still real. Yeah, look, we're going to get to it. I don't want to jump too fast. I'm getting tongue twisted already or something. Man, but I just thought about that. Like I said, these creeping creatures, it's bigger than what we just think and we just read in the scripture. Because look, the enemy is out there. That's just a warm up. Back to chapter 8. according to their kinds, went out of the ark. Now that word, that kinds, let me make sure I got it right. Yeah. Is the word kol. Now we know kol in the Hebrew is also voice. So we got to look, you know, when we take our time, this is some little thing that you see in Scripture. They both, in English, they both spell the same. But in the Hebrew, one is spelt with the kaf and one is spelt with the kuf. And you'll see that. And the kol, the one, it's 3605. It's all, whole, everything. So certain words, we got to, you know, be careful. Just because we see it, and we think that's what, you know, just what it could be. But just, you know, just a little something to look at. And the other one is H6963 is coal also. And of course, is voice. And that's what we should be listening to. Hallelujah. It's not the voice from the outside, the distractions. This guy just read it to resist that. Because you're going to, look, the hardship is going to come regardless. I can tell you. But you resist it. I did, in that kefa, let me, I'm just kind of trying to catch up with my notes. That word sober is to be calm and collected in spirit. Not just the physical. In the spirit also. And that's G. 3525. And the word is mefo. Look, let me tell you, when it comes to all my notepads, because you sit down, I'm kind of all over the place. So y'all just be calm. I'm catching up to it. I'm trying to imagine myself sitting on my couch drinking my coffee, trying to explain this to y'all. But be sober, be calm, collected in spirit. Look. No matter what we go through in life, we can trust on Him. We can bank on Him. You know, like I said, He's not going to leave us out there in the cold. And sometimes you might feel alone. Even Yeshua said that. He said, "You think I'm?" Yeshua said, "I'm not alone. It might look like I'm alone, but I'm not alone." So it may look that way sometime in our walk, in life, because life throws you with a curve. Let me tell you, sometimes I see some curves, some guys in baseball, we call it about a nasty curve. You know, some people throw them ball, a left-hander especially. It's automatically natural for a left-hander to throw a curve, and you know that. He automatically throws a curve. I didn't know that till because I'm left-handed, but that's how I found out. It's something that's natural to you. But like I said, I say that because things in life, it's going to come. We're not exempt. Doesn't matter what part you play up in here. From the pulpit to the back to in the pew, you're going to go through stuff in life. And sometimes it's nasty. Look, but we got to be collective in spirit. Be sober. Be watching. Be vigilant. G1127. To watch. Give strict attention to. Be cautious. Be active. You know that, look, we have to be always aware of our surroundings. My wife just told me tonight, we rolled up at night, we got a little string of light. She said, "Nah, I need a bigger light." We ain't got enough lights, you got to have a bigger light. Why? You want to be cautious. Be active. Look, a lot of times the enemy, that's his greatest, one of his greatest weapons is fear, darkness. Because that's what he is. And if he can bring fear and throw you off balance, I'll kind of knock you out. Sideways spiritually a little bit, knock you off balance, his chances are he second go around, he's coming at you really good if he can get you off balance. You have to be firm in the word. That's the only thing that you have that's concrete. Take heed, lest through, this has to do with vigilance, take heed, lest through remission and indolence some destructive calamity suddenly overtake one. Look, and sometimes things happen quick and fast. It might even blindside you. It's not because you're unaware. But this is the way we have to go, seek Him and trust in Him to protect us from our blind side. That's why you even in your vehicle, you have blind spot. Oh, I didn't see him. Why? Because it's in your blind spot. They make these little mirrors. You can stick to your mirrors. Hey, only thing that can help protect our blind spot is Yeshua. That's who we have to put our trust in. A lot of times we don't see the enemy. Or we just don't notice, or we don't want to see him. And Noah, verse 20, and Noah built a slaughter place to Yehovah and took of every clean beast and of every clean bird and offered ascending offerings on the slaughter place. Thanksgiving. That's what I'm going to call that verse of scripture. Look, when you've been in that ark all these years and you all these years in this ark, let me tell you, it gets rough. Ask Pastor. He'll probably tell you. You ain't been always smooth sailing in the ark. If you stay in, you're going to be saved. The thing about it, those who stayed in, they ate sober. I can imagine the wind and the waves blowing, the animals in there, whatever they're doing, the noises they make. I'm sure it's been rough for Noah and his family. Can you imagine being over a year being in? Look, I stayed 56 days, 8 weeks on a boat. I tell you. You want to run wild when you get off of it. You don't see that happen to Noah here. But man, let me tell you, that's a long time. I can't imagine all that time being on a boat with a bunch of animals, smelling like animals. And just, you got nowhere to go. You're in the boat. That's a good thing. But I'm sure it wasn't always pleasant. I mean, you got to go clean up after the animals. Kind of sort of today. Oh boy. Built a slaughter place unto Yehovah. You think he was thankful on that day when he was told to come out of the ark? Wouldn't the first thing you want to do is drop to your knees and give thanks to him and build a slaughter place? And do what? Sacrifice clean beasts. Now we see this term coming up again. How would Noah know the clean beasts? And clean animals, clean birds. Wonder what kind of way he gets his information from. Maybe he turned to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, huh? Maybe that's where he got it from. That seems to be the theme for the church today. So for some people. Maybe Noah turned to the new covenant. That's what they say. We don't need this. Why not any insects? Let's do a little science right here. Well, I was digging deep. I was thinking about why not bugs? Why not sacrifice bugs? Because you know there's no blood in bugs. It's called H-E-M-O-L-O-M-P-H, hemophobia. Circulating fluid or blood of insects. Basically, it's their blood, but it's not blood that we see that the sacrifice on here. This is what was required. Why blood? Because we know later on a precious blood was shed for us. But you don't see any insect. But you do see these creeping creatures are still going to pop up. And offering them on the slaughter place. That slaughter place is called Misbeka. It's an altar. It's the root word of zabak, to slaughter an animal, slay, kill, offer, sacrifice. We want to look into the Hebrew of it. And we know that when Moshe built the temple, what was one of the first things when they walked in the gate? Was the slaughter place. I'm so glad we learned all that prior to this. So we're going to know when we get to that, we're going to be well versed in some of this. And we're going to know what that is. We're going to know what's happening right there when we see that. And we know Yeshua. Was offered up, not on a slaughter plate, on an altar, but we know he was slaughtered for our sins. We're going to get to that because one of the next verse we're going to get to, we're going to see the ascending offering, which is the Olah offering. It was the burnt offering, the whole burnt offering. He was the whole sacrifice. I mean, he wasn't burnt, but I tell you what, he was beat so bad, he might as well have been burnt. But he was the whole sacrifice for us. Can you imagine the sight we could have looked at? If we could have just actually see what it would have looked like, the way the scripture is, if they beat him unrecognizably. I mean, I've never seen a person beat that way. You know, we only got a little glimpse of it when we watched The Passion of Christ, but I've never seen a person physically beaten, stripped down, to where he don't even look like a man. But that was our Olah offering. And I know that's later on in our Torah portions too. We learn a lot about that also. And that's H5930, whole burnt offering. And Yehovah smelled a soothing fragrance. And Yehovah said in his heart, never again shall I curse the ground because of man, although the inclination of man's heart is evil from his youth, and never again strike all living creatures as I have done. What a covenant that he's making here. He smelled a soothing aroma. Now, we don't do this today, but when you come here on Shabbat, and when it's time to praise and offer up him a fragrance of praise, what's he smelling when he sits on this side? Well, those that sit on this side, what's he smelling on that side? What about here? What's he smelling on this side? Does he smell soothing fragrance in here? Never again shall I curse. He says, in his heart, he said. See, and we know, but we know he's spirit. Yehovah has feelings because he cares for us. The scripture tells us that. He's not willing that any should perish. Never again shall I curse the ground because of man, although the inclination of man's heart is evil from his youth. How long? From his youth. I remember Pastor said something a little while ago. That's all it takes. It's just from the youth. That's what they learn. Look, we have a new family member at our house, and there's some training going on there. And she has to learn from her youth. And that's what we've all started. Nobody had to teach me when I was growing up how to curse. As I got older, I learned how. Or how to do other things. Now this inclination is Yetzer, is H3336. It's a person's natural tendency or urge to act or feel in a particular way, a disposition of propensity. But the thing about it in the King James, and I'm not picking on it, but you have the word inclination. I mean, we have inclination, but in here, let me get before I just. They have imagination. So there's two different words, two different meanings. To imagine something, but you're not acting on it, but you imagine it, it's still wrong, depending on what the situation is. But you can think of something, and you know what? And you can cast that thought out your mind. But it's two different approaches here for your inclination and your imagination. And if we don't look at some, you know, sometime when we're reading, if we don't do our homework, we'll kind of miss what the story is trying to tell us. Or we'll miss what's being, because look, translation will definitely throw you off. And like I said, so you have to read it all. You have to check out the King James. You have to check out your scriptures. And then what I do, I'll go to maybe another Bible app and just look at some of the wording, see how they word it. Just so you, and look, we want to do our best to get it right. We're not going to get it all perfectly, but we're going to do the best we can. I'm trying to watch my words carefully. Because and Yahweh smelled it, never again shall I curse the ground because of man. Because of man. Why? Where did it start? In the beginning, because of man. Now you see Adam and you see Noah. They pretty comparable, if you notice. Adam was the first man. Noah was the first of a whole new generation after the flood. So basically Noah is almost like the first, another first man. Adam sinned, and we're going to know that Noah, he sinned also. So we see some of the comparison. Even though Yehovah said he's perfect, he's a righteous man, but he had a flaw. We're going to read it. We're going to get to it. Look, Adam was a till of the ground. Noah was a man of the garden also. So we'll see the comparison when we look at him. If we take our time and really look at him. Adam had three sons. How many three sons know what we read about? Three. So you see the comparison. There ain't nothing different. So the same rule that applied to Adam, it applied to him also, to Noah. And no different than us today. We get these same, like these clean and unclean animals. We know. We're going to go to Leviticus. We're going to see where it comes from. You know, the Bible tells us on some things, that the rest of it don't tell us all things, but we have to go and do our homework and let Set Apart Spirit teach us all things. That's what it says. Because of man, although the inclination of man's heart is evil from his youth, and never again strike living creatures as I have done. As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. So as long as the earth remains, we're going to go through these things just like Noah did, because Yeshua said just as it was in the days of Noah. I think that what the problem with the issue is sometimes, we don't pay attention to what Yeshua really says. We kind of skim over his words. So we have to really sit down and really, might as well, whose words matter the most? His. And everybody else that came after him, they was following him. So their words matter. But if I'm going to start with someone, we got to start with him. He says in Matthew 24:35, the heaven and the earth shall pass away, but my words shall by no means pass away. This is what he said. We have to pay attention to what he said. Let's also look at something else in Matthew that kind of related to what we were talking about this adversary. In Matthew chapter 10, imagination is, I didn't get a strong, I just look at the, before I jump on that. It said the faculty or action of forming new ideas or images or concept of external object not present to the senses. So in other words, you can probably think about the thought, but you know what? You can cast it away, because that thought had to be captive. But if you let it take it over, then it becomes that inclination to rise up in you and you act up on it. So it's two different words. But in Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, this is so much we have to pay attention to the words of Yeshua. He said in verse 1 through 4, Yeshua picks you. He said, You didn't choose me, I chose you. This is his word. We have to pay attention to his word. So this is, we're going to see this right here in verses 1 through 4. What is he doing? He's picking his disciples. In 5 through 15, he sends them out and instructs them how to act, how to conduct themselves. Especially, look, this time, it's not just this time of the year. But being we're in this time, I'm going to use it. Because everybody, a lot of people in the world, they love this time of the year. I can tell you. You hear the music start. It's been playing. It's really going to start playing after tomorrow. He instructs them how to act, how to carry themselves, where they go, how they enter, if it's worthy or not. We know he gives us instructions. In verse 16 through 25, He tells you what will happen to you when you start going out and you start walking as he walked and you start proclaiming what he proclaims. He tells you what they're going to do to you, what's going to happen to you. Let me just read it so you ain't going to just take my, I don't want you to just take my words from it. We'll take it from the master. See, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents, as innocent as doves. What is that creeping creature that creeps on all fours? Last time I checked, a wolf creeps on all fours. But beware of men, for they shall deliver you up to the Sanhedrin and flog you in their congregations. Not outside, in the congregations. And I, look, we can take this as today's time. I know this has happened. When he speaks, this is a long time ago. But it's no different today. If we follow him, this is going to happen to you today. And you shall be brought before governors and sovereigns for my sake as a witness to them and to the nations. But when they deliver you up, don't worry about how or what you should speak, for it shall be given you in that hour what you shall speak. For it is not you who speaks, but the Spirit of your Father speaking in you. Now we see it later on in another chapter, in another book, that he says, you're speaking the words, but then you have a different father. Oh, I tell you what, this is, when I sit down and I got my quiet, I enjoy just time, spending time with him. I love spending time with him. And the brother, and the who? The brother shall deliver a brother to death. Not my brother. Okay. And a father, his children. These are some strong words of Yeshua. And children shall rise up against parents and shall put them to death. See, nobody wants to read this because he's all about peace. Well, we're gonna jump on that in just a moment. We're gonna see how much peace it is. And you shall be hated by a few. Huh? All. Why? Because when you stand for him and you walk as he walked and you start saying the thing, you're not like. I can tell. I know one man in here for sure. He gets some nasty curves come his way. I know that for a fact. Hated by all for my name's sake. This is what happened when you put your zitzis on, you put your price, when you put your tag on, say, I'm following him. This is what happened. He tells us that. But I don't think nobody wants to really pay attention to what and when he speaks. But he who shall have endured to the end shall be saved. You have to take it. What we're just reading about in Peter, you got to take it. It's just what it's going to be. If you're going through it, and I'm going through it, your sister's going through it, yay, your sister, y'all go through it. Ladies, y'all go through it. Men, we go through it. And when they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For truly I say to you, you shall by no means have gone through the cities of Israel before the son of Adam comes. I can tell you, Shaul, when he said, let's go back, he said, go back, they just stoned us. You want to go back? Yes. Let's go back and check on our brothers. Just go follow, go see what he did. So 16 through 25, he tells you what's going to happen to you. A taught one is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. Ain't he your master? Ain't it our desire to be like him, to walk like him, look like him? Man, act like him, smell like him. You walk so close, remember we had that slide a while back? You walk so close to him, even the dust will get on you. That's what you want to be from your rabbi. It is enough for the taught one to become like his teacher and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more those of his household? What do you think they're going to call you if they call him a devil? He ain't going to call you names? Verse 26 through 33, do not fear. That's what he tells us. Don't fear. Look, because Is it fearful sometimes? Because we don't like confrontation. I promise you, you don't want confrontation. But when you have to, don't fear it. He's on your side. You didn't start the trouble. Well, look, if it's time to defend, if it comes to your wife, your spouse, you defend your wife, man. That's what you have to do. It's your duty. But look, he said, if possible, be at peace. But we know sometimes peace kind of gets set back a little bit. He said, don't fear. Verse 34 through 39, warning. Get your mind right. Because let's see what he says here. Do not think. What else have we read that in the beginning of Matthew? Don't think that I come to abolish the law, the Torah. I come to show you how to live it out. So now he's making this statement again. Do not think. Why? Because people thinking can get them sideways. That I have come to bring peace on earth. Hold on. Hold back. Let's go to Luke. Go to Luke right quick before I read that, because we're going to have an issue here. Luke chapter 2. Let's start at verse 8. Because it seems like this narrative here, we used this over the years when I was coming up as a play. And in the same country, there were shepherds living out in the fields, keeping over watch over their flock. What are they doing? They're watching, keeping over their flock by night. Now, I can tell you, I've been tricked by the enemy for so long. I'm so thankful for the truth. Because why would the world, I want to be out there in the middle of December in a field watching over a flock of sheep? That don't even fit no more in my narrative. But that's what we were taught. And you want to be out. Look, you go out there, and I texted Brother AJ this morning. It was 37 degrees in the air. Yeah, I believe he's in the field, okay. Yeah, at night, right? And look, the messenger of Jehovah stood before them, and the steam of Jehovah shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the messenger said to them, do not be afraid, for look, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. Because there was born to you today in the city of David a Savior who is Messiah, the Master. I love that. And this is the sign to you. You shall find a baby wrapped up, lying in a feeding trough. And suddenly there was a messenger, a crowd of heavenly hosts praising Elohim and saying, esteemed to Elohim in the highest. And on the earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased. Now you see that peace is the same one we're about to read about. G 15:15. Let's go back to Matthew. Do not think that I come to bring peace on the earth. Well, I thought he was called the Prince of Peace. Well, he was. And he is. He said, don't think I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Now, Christians going to have a tough time getting me to believe that he's all about peace and we got to love. Because right now, either I'm reading it wrong or Yeshua is trying to trick us. He said, I have come to bring division. What? Why is he doing? I thought he was peace and love. After all, I'm following Yeshua. I'm following the new covenant. Okay. Well, explain to me what's going on here. A man against his father, that would be his son. A daughter against her mother, that's your daughter. And a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies are those of his own household. Now, we've seen that in our household. We've seen brothers and sisters and cousins and nephews, whatever you want to call them. They're going about it the roaring lion because they're not here. And if they're speaking against us, for sure he can't be my brother. But a true brother would stand next to the taught one. that's helping teaching us, that we're learning from. That's my brother. Because even Yeshua says, hey, Dick, your mom and them's outside, they want to talk to you. He says, whoever's done the desire of my father, that's my mother, my sister, and my brothers. So there's a distinction here that he's making, that he wants us to know between clean beasts and unclean. Because that's what I'm going to call them, the unclean beasts. That's probably some much worse word than that, but I say that's a good safe word. And this is what happens. When you stand upon it, it's going to divide. It's going to cause enmity. Look, you're not going to agree. There's no reasoning. You can try. You can have a debate if you want. But after all, they really don't want to listen. When your conscience is getting seared, and you won't even, oh, look, if Yeshua can't save them, for sure I can't. We can't. All we can do is be a light to them and let them know that, look, you're going in error. And we have families out there. Look, I love our families. But I'm sorry. When the door closes, only 8 souls were saved out through the whole world. You don't think Noah had family out there? You don't think Shem, Ham, and Japheth and their wives, they had family out there, their mom, their dad? We don't read about them, but I'll read only 8 people in the ark. Now, unless we follow our master, what are you saying here? You out? Answer your own self. Are you in the ark or you out the ark? Because those outside the ark don't make it. That 15 cubits that was above the highest mountain, I think I wrote it down. I think it's like 20-something feet. Now, they might have had giants, great marine men, but they couldn't. You know how rough that was? It was rough when the burst from the deep opened up and the window of the heaven were open? Oh, Pastor, when I was sitting there and he mentioned about that, and he talked about the ark being tossed to and fro and being in the rough, I remember that day when I come in, it was a foggy day and it was rough. Well, big ground swells. It wasn't even rough, it was just monster ground swells. And let me tell you, me, him, and Brother Chad, we out there fishing, it was foggy that morning. You know it was bad when the leader run aground right off the bat. That was the warning right there. But we didn't heed the warning. We went out. We didn't look. I'm glad we caught fish. But let me tell you, I was left out there by myself, and I knew where Pastor went, and I couldn't find Brother Chad because for some reason radio wasn't working or whatever it was. I told Pastor, yeah, I'm coming in. So I got my track line. That goes to show you. If you're not careful, I got a track line going into the pass behind the lighthouse. And as I was going, I was zooming in, watching my track. Because I know when you track, if you don't stay close to your line, you get off just a little bit. And that's what the enemy wanted, just a little bit, get off your line, off your course. And let me tell you, I paid for it. I run aground that sandbar and them ground swell, and instantly, I got to get my snapper working. My snapper didn't work when it should have. I got it got now. Instantly, it sank me. I couldn't back up. I couldn't come ahead. The boat filled up with water. Only thing it didn't do was roll over. Now here I am with 4 customers in the boat. I was on the sandbar, high faster, high and dry of the sandbar, way up there. You know, if I was one to real panic, this is what I learned in sea school. Don't panic. What did Yeshua say? Don't fear. Which fear does creep in, I can promise you. But if I don't remember my train or know what to do, I'd have lost the boat, and we'd have had to catch a ride home, and who knows what could have happened. Well, look, I had to do something that I didn't want to like to do, and then jump overboard in strange water. But I had no choice. I had to jump overboard and push the boat, and the guy said, what are you doing? I said, if we don't turn the boat around now, we're going to be lost. I'll lose it all. Like Shaul with that story. I was thinking about that whole time about that story. And I told my wife when I got home, I think that night or whatever, I said, I just read that story just a few Shabbats ago. I read about that. Well, look, I almost lost it. It was almost an insurance job. But let me tell you, I had to get out. And then, by God's grace and mercy, let me tell you, I know if it was grace and mercy, they were able to put the pumps on and let them guys hold. We had to hold the boat into the sea while it pumped out. And when it started to light, it started to skip. I had the old man, I had the daddy with his son and two other guys. And the boat, as it was pumping out, it would skip over the ground swell. It would sit on the bottom. And we just skip a little bit and it would sit on the bottom. See, I was able to get out in a little deeper water, able to pump out. And by that time, Pastor, he was there. He said, but look, I still got the sand in the boat. It's in the one that looked apart, never even washed it out. I guess it's there as a reminder. I don't know. But let me tell you, just that quick. That's how quick the enemy can snatch you up, just that quick. And look, I was being careful. I was doing all the right things. But just a little bit off my track line. And that's that, like I said, when he read that story, that was so fitting. He said, what is Yeshua telling us here? Just a little bit. Just don't think. Because it's your family. Or whatever, they're not going to be against you. Because they are. Some of them are. And I can tell you, if they're not in the boat, when it's time comes, when that day comes, it says in that place, there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Because they could have been in the ark. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. What? He has to be first in everything. It's your wife, it doesn't matter. It's your husband, it doesn't matter. It's your kids, it doesn't matter, because he's going to tell us that. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. This is his words. We have to really pay attention to his words, especially in the time that which we're living in. Because after all, what he says, heaven and earth is going to pass away. I just read a little while. But my word will not pass away. We have to remember his word. We have to remember his teaching, what he taught us. It'll save your life. Like I said, if I didn't remember my training, the little bit I had while I was running boats, and I wouldn't remember, I would have lost it right there. And he who does not take up his stake and follow after me is not worthy of me. I mean, you're going to be on your own journey. You got to bear your own cross. You got to walk the walk. If you're going to talk the talk and walk the walk, you got to do both. You can't do one without the other. If you're going to talk it, if you're going to walk it and talk it, talk it and walk it, however you want to put it first. He who has found his life shall lose it. And he that has lost his life for my sake shall find it. That's the reward. They can get rid of me or you. It's fine. They can't get rid of what's inside of you. And the one that's inside of you, he's the one that preserves you until that day. Verse 40 through 42 is the reward. After all your toil, after all your time putting in here, in the cold, in the heat, summer, winter, cold. We just read that. It doesn't go overlooked. Scripture says he remembered Noah. We just learned that. He never forgot about him. Like I said, he has a heart. He remembered Noah. You don't think he remembers you? You don't think he sees what we go through? He knows. You don't think he sees the text messages or the phone calls or whatever you go through? Look, trust me. Had not been for him, man, let me tell you, I've been through it. I've been in the ringer. I've been divorced. I've been through the fight. I've been through the struggle. I know what it's like. Let me tell you, and it's tough. You lose people. You lose stuff. But you're still here. You don't give up. You don't pull the anchor. Oh, boy. Let's go. We better go back to Genesis. As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. And that's chapter 8. And Elohim, verse chapter 9. Boy, we're moving along, huh? And Elohim blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and increase and fill the earth. We've seen he told that to Adam. So we can see the tie-in, the connections. He blessed Noah, Barak, age 1288, physically and spiritually. It's not just a physical thing, it's spiritually also. He says, and the fear of you And the dread of you is on every beast of the earth, on every bird of the heavens, on all that creeps on the ground, and on all the fish of the sea. Into your hand they have been given. Didn't he tell it to Adam? I give you dominion over all these things. Subdue it. Conquer it. Be master of it. Whatever animal you call it, that's going to be its name. He get the same thing to Adam. You see this with Noah? Well, even Moshe. He told this to Moshe. Look at here in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 11, 25. No man shall stand against you. Yehovah your Elohim shall put the dread of you and the fear of you upon all the land where you tread, as he has spoken to you. He gives the same will. I know this is all way ahead stuff, but you can see, you can link these scriptures. The dread and the fear of them. Same thing he tells Moshe. Every creeping creature that lives is food for you. I have given you all as I gave the green plants. Now, people are going to take that, like I tell you, translation, or make you think something and say, look, there you go. We can eat creeping creatures. All right. You're right, in a sense. But let's see. How do we know where we get our information from? The best I can find was in Leviticus. So how else would Noah know to bring clean animals, seven pair, without Yehovah giving the information? And I believe he gives us information too. In Leviticus 11, 21, let's start there. Only these you do eat of every flying insect that creeps on all fours. Those which have jointed legs above their feet, with which to leap on the earth. Look, we have to know what. Why is he giving it? Because some things you can't eat. Now, you might not want to eat them, but he does. When it comes to life, I can promise you, you'll be humming that tune. Hakuna Matata. You probably even sing it. These of them you do eat, the Aven locust after its kind, and the Salam locust after its kind, and the Hogal locust after its kind, and the Hagav locust after its kind. So he tells you. But of all other flying insects which have 4 feet are an abomination to you. And by these you are made unclean. Anyone touching the carcasses of any of them is unclean until evening. And anyone picking up part of the carcass of any of them has to wash his garment and shall be unclean until evening. This should all be familiar to us. Look like we just had this. We just learned all this stuff, a lot of it, and still learning. Because it seems to me like in today's time, Christians, I ain't going to talk about those that follow Yeshua. Christians today have trouble discerning what's clean, unclean, and what to eat. He tells us. Just like I shared with someone, he tells us, commands us what we shouldn't and should not eat. I mean, we don't go to him and make up our own rules. We have to follow what rules of the house are. So when you come into the bet, into his house, he has house rules. You don't go to a casino and go in there and with your own rules in the casino. Look, they have house rules. I know because I've been in them before. Verse 26, every beast that has a split hoof not completely divided or does not chew the cud is unclean to you. Anyone who touches their carcass is unclean. And whatever goes on its paws among all the creatures that go on all fours, those are unclean to you. Anyone who touches their carcass is unclean until evening. So yeah, whose house are they in? And Yehovah, and who's giving the rules? Yehovah. And he's telling you. Now, our evil inclination gets us in trouble sometimes. We want to just, well, that's not what it really means, or that's not what it means to me. That's some of the stupidest things we say. And that's coming from believers. They'll say these things. That's not what it means. And what they do, they go right back and be entangled in what Yehovah just brought them out of. And I'm going to say like the scripture said, the proverb is true. A dog returned to his own vomit. That's what it is. And he who picks up their carcasses to wash has to wash his garments, and she'll be unclean until evening. They are unclean to you. And the list goes on. These are unclean to you among the creeping creatures. Because where are we at? We're talking about these creeping creatures that you can eat. That we just made that statement from. That creeps on the earth. The mole and the mouse. The tortoise after its kind. And the gecko. And the land crocodile. And the sand crocodile. And the sand lizard. And the chameleon. So look, it's up to you to be a good Berean. To go look up what's the land crocodile. What's the sand reptile. It's up to us to go look at these. He's just pointing it out. It's up to us to go do your homework. Oh, we can do like we've done for years. Just whatever the preacher said, just run the back burner and we still go out and do eat what we want to eat. These are unclean to you among all that creep. Anyone who touches them when they are dead becomes unclean until evening. And whatever any of them is in its dead state falls upon becomes unclean. Whether it's any wooden object or garment or skin or sack, any object in which work is done, it is put in water, and it shall be unclean until evening, then it shall be clean. That's a process to go through. Because you remember, if it falls in a wooden bowl, you remember, we got to break it, or the clay pot, we got to break it, but something that we can burn it, pass through the fire, you can burn it and clean it. He gives us all these, we like I said, we had all this, and the list goes on. So let's go back. I think y'all get the idea of what I'm saying about these creeping. Every creeping creature that lives is food for you. Now, there's some slides that you can go to and explain. It'll give you probably a little more detail in that. I think you got to go somewhere like in the 450s to 500, 550s, something like that. I was looking at it earlier. But it's not, like I said, we have to be careful because it says every creeping creature. Don't just literally just take that as everything. Remember, it's that word, that word every, that's one of the word coal right there. That's the 3605 that I mentioned earlier. Verse 9. But do not eat flesh with its life, its blood. Very important scripture. And today, I went hunting today, and that verse came to my mind, because today as I was cleaning my ducks, I was sitting there, I turned the water hose on, and I stood there, I took my time, and sometimes, because the blood, what, it clabbers. Especially inside of a duck, you get that big old clabber spot, so I took my time, and I'm thinking about this, do not eat the blood, so I was scraping, and took my time, and make sure I clean all that, and I charred it real good, and it was good. But anyway, do not eat the blood. He tells you why. Because it's his life. It's the life that he created, the dam that he created. And if he says, do not eat it, surely we're not saying today, that's not what it means. I like my steak rare. I used to. Not anymore. Because his life is in the blood, and he tells us about that. Because what does he say? In Leviticus 11, I think that's where it's at. He's talking about his life is in the blood. And if you profane by eating it, what he tells, if you don't pour it out on the ground, you'll be karath. Means cut off. H3772. It means to cut off. To cut off a body part, beheaded. To cut down, to hew. To cut or make a covenant. To cut off, to cut down, to be chewed. To cut off, to cut off, to cut down. Yahweh, I ain't playing. Destroy. To permit to perish. Now, he's not willing that any should perish. But when you go against his rules, against his teaching, this is the thing that's going to happen. This is what people better wake up and realize. You know, we're doing our best. Are we absolutely? I know I am. I'm going to speak for me. I do my best to, when I'm learning now, especially now, when I'm in a conversation, not to be all too much pushy. At one time, I want to smite them. Now I'm trying to learn to peel back and do it in a more subtle way. Try to get them to understand. Like the other day, I said, look, I told somebody in the conversation the other day, go get your Bible. I said, do me a favor. Go get your Bible and follow me in the scripture. Now, I'm going to repeat what's being already written. That way you see it for yourself. I don't want to tell you just my word. I want you to read it. Let it come out of your own mouth. You read it and you see it. Now, and then you tell me what it is. So if he says, do not eat the blood, because the blood is what? It's his life. And we know the blood that was shed for it was his life. Where did his blood pour out from the ground? For all humanity. He said, don't do it. We shouldn't do it. And that's period. But only your blood for your lives I require. From the hand of every beast I require it. And from the hand of man, every man's blood, brother, every man's brother, I require the life of man. Look, where does that take you? When you read that, you think instantly, you think about Cain, because he took the life of his own brother. And what do you have I said? Why is your brother's blood crying me from the ground? It cries for me from the ground. Why? Because it's cursed. Because what he done. That's a good enough reason, right? One reason that we shouldn't even eat it. Because that was a life. And you see, people today, had a guy tell me, yeah, I know, I've been witnessing to him, because he's always trying to hit me with some kind of angle. But the thing is, I always stand upon the word, what the word says. And he said, I know you're not supposed to. I said, but yeah, I can. Like he tried to hit me with a little trick. Well, hey, man, you can't go kill. You going hunting, you can't do that. You can't, it's your religion. I said, I can go get something to eat. I can go. I said, I can't eat ducks alive. I got to shoot them. I said, but what I don't do, I just don't go kill arbitrarily just to leave it because I just want to kill. Look, yesterday when I was on the bayou, there was a snake on the log. I could have easily shot it. I said, you know what? I paddled by it. And then I paddled back by it. And I said, you know what? He ain't bothering me, so I'm not going to bother it. Now, if he comes in my yard, yeah, well, that, we might have an issue. Especially if I can't identify it. If it's one, because I know there's a few snakes that I know, and some of them I know they're not good, so look, we're not going to go there. But I just don't arbitrarily kill just to kill because I'm being spiteful. And this is what he's saying. And you see, this goes back to murder. The scripture, thou shalt not murder. Why? Because that's life. It doesn't matter. Look, if they're in the bar in the city or in the bar, you know what? It's still a life. And Yehovah is giving that life. His life is in that blood. It's alive. It's his life. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood is shed. For it is the image of Elohim. He has made man. Since the beginning, he has made him. And he breathed, what he did? He breathed that ruach into the blood of man. And man became animated, became alive. Look, when a person is dead, the blood don't flow no more. Dries up, starts clabbering. Just like when you kill that duck. That's what it does. Gets thick. As for you, be fruitful and increase. Bring forth teemingly in the earth and increase in it. We see that scripture again. This is what we got to pay attention to that. Be fruitful. Now, that be fruitful, we should have went last week to John 15. Because it teaches about how to be fruitful. Because he says, my Father is the gardener. And if you ain't producing fruit, he prunes you. And he'll cut you off. I know I can see it in my mind. But that's what you go back and you're supposed to read John 15. But I took it a little step further. And I went to John 16. In just these first three verses, these words, this is Yeshua speaking, so we got to pay attention to what he said. After just telling that he's divine and we're the branches, and if we don't bear fruit, we get cut off. And then the ones he loved, the ones that's obeying, the one that's following him, he pruned that we bring forth more fruit, increase, multiply. But Yeshua said in John 16, these words I have spoken to you so that you do not stumble. And the only reason why you stumble, because you're too lazy to pick up your word, or you're too lazy to take note when the pastor's speaking or teaching. So we rely on him. That's why you stumble. They shall put you out of the congregation. But an hour is coming when everyone who kills you shall think he's running service to Elohim. Look, that's serious. What's the enemy doing? He's creeping on you because you're stumbling. You're fumbling around with your words. And look, I know we all got jobs. We do. And look, we can't, but that's no excuse. Because you know what you do? You get up 2 hours early. Get up out. Now, for as late in the evening, I fail. Because I'm not a late in the evening guy. See, right now when I get home, my pajamas are coming on. I'm fixing to jump in my bed. It won't be long. My wife should tell you. But in the morning, I'm ready to go. I'll get up early, and I'll spend my time. Because that's my time. That's how I hear stuff. That's how I see stuff. That's the only time I can really look like it. Unless you're in a quiet zone, if you have a big house or something. We're in a little compact, in a little sardine can, like my wife says. So we have to find a time because you need that quiet time. Because why? How does he speak? In a still, small voice. That's how he speaks. And you listen. They shall do to you because they do not know the Father nor me. But we got to pay attention to what Yeshua says when he's speaking. We need to tune in our ears. Find that connection with him. So, look, the world is stumbling. People in the world are stumbling. Christians are stumbling because they make crazy comments. And then. Y'all in that cult down there under Jesse. I hear that. Trust me, I hear it. That's fine. Boy, boy, boy. I think my time is up. Look, thank y'all for coming out. Look, this goes some more. 5 minutes. You show me a 5-minute card. All right, look, 5 minutes. I know it's a big day tomorrow, but one more. But I have said these words to you so that when the hour comes, you remember. Huh? Don't take my word from it. So you will remember when the hour comes. That I told them to you, and these words I did not say to you at the beginning, for For I was with you. I'm so glad when the disciples, they were with him. But can you imagine being with the master of masters? Oh, what a time that when he was here on earth, when they were walking with him, seeing all the things, and yet they still, some of them still had disbelief. But I just, when that time comes, when that day comes, whether you're still walking here on earth or whether you're in the grave, he remembers you. Because look, we all need a Savior. Look, death comes to all of us. We know that. It could be me tonight, you tomorrow. It comes. But you know what? He remembers you. Like he remembered Noah. So I'm going to stop right there. Y'all probably got your turkeys in the oven. I don't want you to burn your turkeys or nothing like that. You say, man, if this would have been several years ago, we'd have been out here 15 minutes. So y'all enjoy your day tomorrow. Thank y'all for coming out tonight.